Thanks once again, Colin, for your kind words of welcome. And it's lovely to share God's word again this morning with you here. Let's turn for our reading to the book of Leviticus, chapter 17. The book of Leviticus, chapter 17. We'll read from verse 10. We're looking at pictures of the gospel. We've looked at the gospel according to a ladder, according to a snake, the gospel according to marriage, how marriage is a picture of the gospel. We did that the last time this morning. We're doing the gospel according to blood. We're all familiar with that. None of us would be here unless healthy blood was not circulating around our bodies. But just for our reading, Leviticus 17, verse 10. "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." When I went to pastor a church in Ballymena in March 1992, there was a little boy in the congregation who was 4 years of age. He was in remission with leukemia. Just to bookend that, at the other side, Mark died just 3 weeks short of his 8th birthday on the 2nd of July 1995, just after 3 years I'd come to Ballymena. It was the biggest funeral that I ever conducted. He was well known around the town. He relapsed a few times, and he spent weeks in the children's hospital in the Royal. And of course, I was up and down visiting him, spending time with him and the family. But I began to hear terms about blood, about plasma, about platelets, and all of this type of thing. And I just thought to myself, I'm ignorant about these things. It would be good to get to know these terminologies and the physiology of our blood, because there was something wrong with his blood, and he eventually died from it. So I came home, and my wife has nursing experience, and there's a few medical books about the house. And there's one book that we have is the BMA, the British Medical Association's Family Doctor Home Advisor, 1987 edition. So this is not a Christian book by any means. It's a secular book. But it gave a blood analysis And when I read this from this secular book, I just thought, there's a sermon here about blood. Here's what it says. The blood is the principal transport medium of the body. It carries oxygen, nutrients, and other vital chemicals to all the body tissues and carries waste products away from them. The blood is composed of three principal parts: the red cells containing the red pigment, hemoglobin, which carries oxygen. So I stopped there and I thought to myself, so there's power in the blood. The white cells and platelets which fight infection. So there's victory in the blood. And the plasma, which fight infection and seal damaged blood vessels respectively. So there's healing in the blood. And the plasma, a yellowish fluid in which the blood cells, nutrients, chemicals and waste products are suspended. So there's cleansing in the blood. Modern techniques for counting the numbers of different types of blood cell contained in a blood sample, a procedure known as a blood count, can help in the diagnosis of blood disorders. An examination of the chemicals in the plasma can give clues to diseases of many other parts of the body. So, we are a walking illustration. We are a walking visual aid of the gospel, our very blood. So I prepared this years ago, and I originally called it The Medical Facts of the Blood of Man, a visual aid to the spiritual facts of the blood of Christ. It's a title you'd see in a Puritan book. It's that long. But I simplified it to The Gospel According to Blood. The Medical Facts of the Blood of Man. We who are made in the image of God, we carry about within us, we never think of these things, you know. We're a visual aid of the gospel. Blood. Because as blood is the physical life force of the body, that's what we have read in verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And verse 14, for it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. And we know that things can go wrong with us. And if we're feeling tired or weak, we might make an appointment with the doctor. What do they suggest doing? I'll take your bloods. And so blood is taken, and in a few days we ring for the results. And they can tell right across the board, as I've just read from that book, that they can tell and pinpoint what's wrong with us and prescribe an appropriate medication, iron or some kind of other thing that we need to make us feel better. One has said as blood is the physical life force of the body, so the blood of Christ is the spiritual life force of the soul. I want to say the connection between life and blood seems obvious. Loss of blood leads to loss of life. Blood shed is life terminated. So it is natural to assume that blood carries the essence of life in it. I had a little episode in August 19, 1997, and I have been on aspirin since, and that thins my blood slightly, and I would feel the cold a wee bit more than others. But if I cut myself, it just runs a wee bit longer. It's hard to clot. It's worse if someone is on the likes of warfarin. That just takes really the clotting system out. And it's very dangerous if someone cuts themselves. So blood is very precious and very delicate. And yet we need it from head to toe. Any part of our body that doesn't receive blood dies. And then might need to be cut off and so on. But there's the mystery and the wonder of blood. There's apparently about 10 to 12 pints of blood which is constantly flowing through 60,000 miles of blood vessels. Imagine 60,000 miles of blood vessels within us, made up of arteries and other little veins. I was told at that time that I had a little stroke. I was only 39. I had a stroke in August 1997, so that's why I've been on aspirin ever since. I was told at that time that we have veins in our head, in our brain. If I can picture thread, hollow, and blood flowing through, and all it takes is a little pin prick of a thing that you mightn't even see with a microscope. You need a microscope to see it, but that is all it takes, is to block over somewhere and it'll give you a TIA, a transient ischemic attack, which is what I had. And it's enough to slur your speech. It's enough to weaken you down one side, which I was for about 6 weeks. My left arm, I couldn't. And when I was walking down the street, I had to put it in a pocket to use it as a sling kind of a thing. And that's what I was told by a consultant. If that, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I always thought more of the wonderfully bit up until then, but I began to think more of the fearfully. We are fearfully. It doesn't take much to upset the balance within us. So blood flows through veins as slender as thread, as hollow thread. And of course, your aorta at your heart is about an inch in diameter. It's the biggest vein in your body, the biggest artery in your body. Others are smaller than that. But 10 to 12 pints flowing through 60,000 miles of blood vessels to ferry oxygen from the lungs to the 200 trillion cells in our body. And so you can see that we're not an accident. We're not a process of evolution. This is divine design. This is God. And of course, nobody's going to argue that to have physical life, you need blood. And to have spiritual life, you need blood. The blood of Christ. Jesus said in John 6, 53 and 54, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so as Christians, we dwell upon Christ. We feed our souls. This is what we're talking about here. We're feeding our souls on Christ. We are drinking his blood. Because we need his blood for life in our souls. And of course, we will remember his blood shortly. 1 Corinthians 11 and 25, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So when you think of the physiology of the blood of man, it is an illustration of the blood of Christ. And just let's look at these four things here. There's power in our blood. It carries oxygen. It's the principal transport medium of the body. It carries oxygen, nutrients, and other vital chemicals to all the body tissues. There's power in the blood. The red cells containing hemoglobin, which is a red oxygen-carrying protein containing iron, creating oxygen, a fuel of the body. There are people who might suffer from the likes of anemia, which is a deficiency in the blood, usually of red cells or their hemoglobin, resulting in pallor, just a pale color and weariness. So they need to be constantly on an iron replacement and encouraged to eat red meat and green veg, and that's where iron comes from. Maybe when you were growing up, you were told to eat your greens and you wondered why. You wondered what it was all about. It's because the greener the vegetable, the more iron there is in it. And even the likes of beetroot and so on. Red meat, there's iron. Of course, when you were a child, you couldn't see these things, but you can maybe appreciate them now. And of course, we talk about the power of the blood of Christ. There's power in his blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, and we know that. Revelation 1 verse 5, to him who loves us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood. Romans 5 and 9, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood. And what a contrast there is between the blood of man and his blood. David talked about in Psalm 91 about blood guiltiness. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. There's guilt in our blood. Because one day things will go wrong and we will die. But how different from the blood of Christ. Matthew 27, Judas Iscariot saying, I have betrayed innocent blood. His blood was guilty. The blood of Christ is innocent. And there's power in the blood to cleanse every stain. Who has washed us from our sins, and oh, there are some sinners and they need more washing than others, don't they? When you hear of some testimonies of what the Lord has done for them, we can appreciate this morning there is power in the blood. But there's victory in the blood. The white cells and platelets which fight infection. There's victory in the blood. A drop of blood. Of course, all we see is just a red drop of blood, but when you put that under a microscope, my, how the picture changes. It contains millions of red cells and thousands of white cells and platelets. When we cut ourselves, the platelets rush to the scene and spin a web on which red cells cluster. Then the blood clots and the bleeding stops. What a thing is going on there if we cut ourselves. You know, when I left school, I was an apprentice plumber, so I know a wee bit about plumbing yet. And if there was a burst pipe or a leak, you know, the water will just keep running. You have to go and turn the water off at a valve and then fix the leak, put a new joint on or whatever. And why is it when we cut ourselves and a vein is open that we all the blood doesn't drain out of our bodies? No, it clots over eventually. And then there's no, it fixes itself. Because we have a clotting mechanism. And the white cells known as leukocytes. M.R. Dehaene was the founder of Our Daily Bread. He was a doctor. Certainly don't agree with all his theology. But here's the picture he painted of what goes on when we cut ourselves, or if a wound becomes infected. When an infection occurs anywhere in the body and the body is attacked by an enemy army of germs, the news is flashed back to the camp where the white cells are manufactured, and immediately the organ turns out a greatly increased number of these white cells and rushes them to the point of infection. We might well call this conscription of the white army in time of emergency. The number of white cells is doubled and then trebled, for the white cells are the soldiers of the body. They have the strange power to kill germs and engulf them. So when you prick your finger and infection starts, you soon notice a swelling around the wound. This is caused by blood being rushed to the area, carrying these little soldiers, the white cells. These white cells surround the point of infection completely and lay siege to the bacteria causing the trouble. Millions of soldiers are killed and are gathered in one place where they form what is commonly known as pus. So now the battle is turning, and the wound, which at first was red and angry and swollen, now comes to a head. It has been successfully surrounded, and finally the pimple bursts and the pus is expelled. The pus consists of serum and dead soldiers, millions of the white cells which gave their lives in the battle for the body, together with countless numbers of germs partly digested by the white cells. When the dead in the form of pus have been expelled, the blood and other white cells come in, clean up the battlefield and build new tissues until all is healed and nothing but a scar remains. The number of white cell soldiers during all this time has been greatly increased, but now the battle is over and they return to their normal peacetime number. Because there's such a thing as hemophilia, and people suffer from that. And this is a tendency to bleed severely from even a slight injury through the failure of the blood to clot normally. And a person can die of hemophilia. And then, of course, there's leukemia, which little Mark had, in which the bone marrow and other blood-forming organs produce increased numbers of leukocytes. But there's victory in our blood. We are finely tuned. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We go about our business. We trip and fall. We graze ourselves. We cut ourselves. But we're visual aids of the blood of Christ, of the gospel. There's victory in the blood of Christ. Revelation chapter 12, 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame him. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. And of course, this is what we have to do. We have the enemy of our souls, and we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. We trust in the blood of Christ. 1 John 1 verse 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. There's power in our blood. There's power in his. There's victory in our blood. There's victory in his. There's healing in our blood. There's healing in his. That healing platelets which seal damaged blood vessels. A small colourless platelets are small colourless disc-shaped cell fragment without a nucleus found in blood and involved in clotting. Injury to the wall of a blood vessel activates the formation of clot, which is nature's method of sealing a wound, so preventing prolonged hemorrhage. There's healing in Christ's blood. 1 Peter 2 and 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Those bloody stripes. Physical healing under surgery may require the body to be wounded, to be opened. There's bloodshed. But the healing process will follow. Spiritual healing of the soul required the body of Christ to be wounded and his blood shed. This is a new and strange method of healing, someone once said. The doctor suffered the cost and the sick received the healing. There's victory in our blood. There's power in our blood. There's healing in our blood. And there's cleansing in our blood. Cleansing. Waste products are suspended, it says. It is the function of the blood that causes the body to discharge its waste products, thus keeping the body clean and pure. Each time we feel the need to go to the toilet, blood is at work, sending a message to the brain. You need to discharge waste products. Because it keeps the body clean. There's cleansing in the blood. There's cleansing in his blood. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a putrid world in which we live in. Filthy world, a sinful world. And yet the Christian is called to holiness. God says, be holy, for I am holy. We have the Holy Spirit living within us to give us strength, to give us power. We have the process of sanctification. Some teach it's another experience in itself, but it's more a process. We are being sanctified. It's a process until we reach that point of entire sanctification. But there's a process going on, and we live different from this world. And Peter says they think it's strange because you don't run after the things that they run after. There's blood guiltiness. But oh, there's cleansing in our blood for our bodies. But there's cleansing in his, and that's what we trust in. To live lives that are different. South African Andrew Murray put it like this: the heavenly spiritual effect of the blood can be really experienced every moment. Its power is such that I can always abide in the fountain, always dwell in the wounds of my Lord. Believer, come, I entreat of you, put it to the proof how the blood of Jesus can cleanse your heart from all sin. You know with what joy a weary traveller would bathe in a fresh stream, plunging into the water to experience its cooling and cleansing and strengthening effect. Lift up your eyes and see by faith how ceaselessly a stream flows from heaven above to earth beneath. It is the blessed Spirit's influence through whom the power of the blood of Jesus flows earthwards over souls to heal and to purify them. Oh, place yourself in this stream. Simply believe that the words, the blood of Jesus cleanseth from all sin, have a divine meaning, deeper, wider than you have ever imagined. Believe that it is the Lord Jesus himself who will cleanse you in his blood and fulfill his promise in power in you, and reckon on the cleansing from sin by his blood as a blessing in the daily enjoyment of which you can confidently abide. So this is the gospel according to blood. We have blood. We wouldn't live without blood. We cannot live spiritually without the blood of Christ. The blood where there's power. The blood where there's victory. The blood where there's healing. The blood where there's cleansing. That is all going on in our bodies. And that's what happens when we know Christ in our souls. I think one of the best definitions of what is a Christian is the title of the book by Henry Scougal. Lived in the late 1600s into the 1700s. It was the book that George Whitefield read that brought him to Christ. And the title of the book is The Life of God in the Soul of Man. To me, that is what is a Christian. If someone said to me, what is the definition of a Christian? I would say that. The life of God in the soul of man. where the soul knows the power and the victory and the healing and the cleansing of the blood of Christ. And of course, I would have posed the question, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The gospel according to blood. Next Sunday, God willing, for the last of this little series, before I'm back on New Year's Day, we'll look at the gospel according to a Lamb. And may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We sing in closing Psalm 116, verses 13 to 19, to the tune Erin. I'll off salvation take the cup, on God's name will I call. I'll pay my vows now to the Lord before his people all. And we know in the likes of wartime there are those who have sacrificed their lives, there are those who have shed their blood. But oh, when we think of what Christ has done, the shedding of his blood, that we might be saved forevermore. So Psalm 116, 13 to 19, to the tune Erin.